Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 21st of March, 2024. Later on Market Day, we'll speak with Gemma Dale from NAB Trade for the action on the share market. But first, to Australia's unemployment rate, which unexpectedly fell from 4.1% to 3.7% in February, possibly delaying an official interest rate cut. But to when? For more, I spoke with David Robertson, the chief economist at the Bendigo and Adelaide Bank. So, David, 116,000 jobs created in February, despite a slowing economy and unemployment rate down from 4.1% to 3.7%. What does this say about the labour market at the moment?
Yes, it was an extraordinary read. The labour data across the board, not just the increase of employment of 116,000 odd, but the also a fall in underemployment and a pretty decent rise in hours worked as well. So really a sign that demand for labour hasn't eased off despite the slowing in the economy. And of course, we saw in the GDP numbers last week that we're in a per capita recession. However, I think this really does show that the population growth that we're seeing, the fast rise, not just in net migration, but across the board demand for labour, we're filling the job vacancies that were evident coming out of pandemic. And so whilst we don't want to rely on population growth as the sole source of Australia's economic prosperity, certainly at the moment it's continuing to drive not just demand for labour, but it's filling job vacancies which have been necessary. And if we look at the pipeline of work to be done, be that through public infrastructure or the need to build new dwellings, et cetera, we do need a larger workforce to fill those skill gaps. But certainly it's skewing the numbers. And we did expect a bit of payback from the really weak numbers that we saw through December and January, where employment went backwards by about 65,000. But the consensus was only for a 40,000 increase. So this was a real surprise.
I'm glad you addressed the increase in population and those record migration numbers that we saw confirmed today for the financial year. But can you go into more detail about why we saw that big jump in job creation in February? Because isn't part of it a function of more people delaying their start of work in the new year, potentially taking a longer break over the summer period and coming into work in February?
Yes, I think that's clearly the case, both changes to seasonal hiring patterns. And also we saw last month the ABS did note that there was a much larger pool of workers who had a job but were yet to commence that job. And so even though they were flagged as having a job in January, they didn't come through the January numbers because they hadn't actually started to with their hours worked. And that is something that we do see every year. So the ABS have commented that generally in February, there's around about 4% of the workforce who didn't have a job in January, so they need to seasonally adjust for that. But this year, I think it was a 4.7% increase, or a 4.7% of the workforce that didn't have a job in January that suddenly do in Feb. So the actual task of the ABS to seasonally adjust is getting harder. But you know, if you, instead of looking at the seasonally adjusted numbers, you just look at the trend numbers, then in fact, unemployment was unchanged at 3.8%. So perhaps it's important not just to look at the seasonally adjusted numbers, but to look at the range of ABS figures. And again, coming out of this unique backdrop that we've had of the pandemic and of sharp population growth, trying to get back to a more normal trajectory, I think that does make the task of seasonally adjusting more difficult. We're seeing that in the retail sales numbers as well. So all a part of adjusting and trying to get to a new normal.
While the market looks solid right now, What does the future look like? The RBA expects the unemployment rate to edge up to 4.5%. Are there any indicators pointing to a softening in the jobs market?
Strangely enough, there are. And again, you look at the data today and you'd say, well, there's nothing soft about that incredibly tight labour markets. However, we are continuing to see a rise in, or we're expecting a rise in the unemployment rate as we see a fall in job vacancies and job advertisements. And there's generally a lag there. So we feel that this is coming during the year. And we're still forecasting the unemployment rate to be above 4.5% by the end of the year. And that 4.5% unemployment rate, I think, will be an important line in the sand, because that's basically the number that the RBA have assigned as a neutral, or what they would call a full employment level, an unemployment rate that doesn't add to inflationary risks. So even though we've just leapt down from 4.1 to 3.7%, our view is that the unemployment rate is likely to head back above 4%. But I don't think alarm bells would be ringing in terms of the severity of the downturn unless we were to rise above 4.5% unemployment. And you'd think that that will take some time. As you alluded to, the RBA forecaster only has unemployment up at about 4.4% by the end of this year, and not into the fives at all.
So the real question then, as per today, does today's data push back expectations of the timing of a potential interest rate cut, that first interest rate cut by the RBA? What do you think?
Yes, I think it does. And we're already of the view that interest rate cuts are more likely to occur in 2025 than 24. In fact, our forecasts have 5 rate cuts in 2025 and didn't have the first cut until February 25. Of course, the market consensus has been looking at rate cuts both in September and November. So if we've got 225 basis point cuts, then that'll take us down to 3.85%. Our concern around the RBA cutting rates too preemptively and really responding to the pressure that clearly is going to be growing for the RBA to cut rates once the US and European Central Bank, et cetera, start cutting rates, the challenge, or the difficulty that I think the RBA face, is if they cut rates, say, in September and November, but the inflation rate is still above 3%, well, then what happens if suddenly inflation starts to kick higher and goes back up to 3.5%, particularly after the stage 3 tax cuts? So they've really got to stay the course and make sure that inflation, that the fires of inflation are fully doused. And it's inflation that's the enemy at the moment, and that's the thing that we need to get completely contained. And so to answer your question, yes, I think today's data verifies that rate cuts are more likely towards the end of the year rather than earlier. I know there had been some calls that the RBA may even be cutting by June, but that seems really unlikely to me. And I think this data confirms that we're going to continue to see fairly resilient labour markets. The two scenarios where the RBA could cut rates earlier would be, firstly, if there's a sharper slowdown in the economy evidenced by a higher unemployment rate, or if we made a lot more progress on core inflation returning to target. And today's data will do nothing to add to either of those two scenarios and their likelihood.
That is David Robertson from Bendigo and Adelaide Bank.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
And the Australian dollar and the Australian share market responded by going higher. The S&P ASX 200 closing 1.1% firmer, 7,782. It follows a record close on Wall Street, where the S&P 500 closed at a record. For more, I spoke with Gemma Dale, an analyst at NAB Trade. Gemma, firstly, how did the market react to the jobs data?
Look, it was such a strong day on the ASX today. It's an interesting one. We already had really, really strong leads from Wall Street. So it was a positive start before we had the jobs data, but it certainly didn't weaken after that. It's quite fascinating in that so many market participants are hoping for rate cuts in the US in particular, but here as well, this is a sign of real strength in the economy. Those numbers are unbelievable, more than double what we were anticipating, and we were above consensus. So really, really strong numbers. That means maybe we're not getting the cuts that we might have been hoping for, but the economy's strong. That's good for the share market. Everybody was happy.
Yeah, let's talk about the US and interest rates there as well. Let's put that into the mix, because the Australian dollar was also already rising earlier today, even before the jobs number, as the US Federal Reserve left rates on hold there overnight, but also signaled 3 interest rate cuts this year. Why, especially when news out of the US sent shares on Wall Street to another record high?
Yeah, it's an interesting set of data points, isn't it? You wouldn't anticipate all those things necessarily happening at the same time. But the Aussie-US has been in something of an equilibrium from a little while there. And so when you see the US expecting cuts from June, really, is what we're expecting in the US from June. But in Australia, we're expecting cuts from November. That's what NAB is predicting. We're going to be higher for longer at this point in time. That means the Aussie becomes a little bit more attractive on a relative basis. And that's just putting a little bit of a floor under the Aussie and giving it a bit of support at the moment.
How is that connected to the gold price? Because gold's at a record again.
Yeah, so the gold price is unbelievable at the moment. It's up 7% year on year. That's pretty extraordinary. It's not the kind of thing you anticipate to go on a massive tear. So certainly supporting the Aussie gold miners. Look, a couple of different drivers for that. One is, as rates come down, gold again becomes relatively more attractive. It's a good store of value and you're not worried about yield. You're not getting a great or as great a yield on your cash as rates fall. So that makes it more attractive. But one of the biggest drivers is that central banks have been buying up gold. So you've got a little bit more demand coming from those guys and that's pushing up the price a touch.
Okay, taking a close look at the share market here, what drove it today?
Look, the strongest performer was pretty much green on screen today. The only weakness was in healthcare, and that was pretty modest. But the strongest performer was financials. And again, it's rates driven. When rates are at this level, but jobs are still looking really, really strong, you don't anticipate any kind of increase in arrears. So people are managing to pay their mortgages. The biggest concern for financials in Australia is, are people going to be able to continue paying their mortgages at this rate? Are they going to be able to hold up? The consumer is the concern. With jobs so strong, yes, they can. And net interest margin is much stronger at this level than if rates are cut. So it's looking pretty good for financials. They're up sort of 1.5% across the board.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, really interesting one out today specifically, but it's one that's been talked about for a long time. So we talk about energy security and we talk about this idea of stripping out some of the geopolitical risk in your supply chains. Rare earths have been talked about for ages and they're not that rare, frankly, from a geological perspective, but they're very, very difficult to process outside China. Australia's got a couple of rare earths miners, but it also has some hopefuls in the production and processing space. There was a letter of interest from the US Export-Import Bank to Australian Strategic Materials, a rare earths company in Australia, for a processing plant outside Dubbo, $600 million. It's driven up the share price by 30%. Seems like the first real sign that the US is trying to invest in these critical materials and it's going to allies to do that. So it's been talked about for ages, but might well start to see some dollars flowing.
That is Gemma Dale there from NAB Trade.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.